The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm here.
Live from Kansas City, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Rookie Xavier Worthy!
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Jets running back Breece Hall. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show kickoff special live from Kansas City at the Total Wireless Studio. Kurt Warner is making his way to our studio right now, fresh off of calling last night's season kickoff in Arrowhead on Westwood One with Kevin Harlan. And then after him, our final guest of the week. It's kind of only fitting that the most famous and popular Kansas City and not named Mahomes will be coming here. Bobby Witt Jr. The number of people that I've run into in this town who adore this guy,
dude.
I have lost track.
Dude, my son loves him, and he's not even on our favorite teams.
He is one of the best in baseball, and he is just living his best life here for the Royals getting to take on the Twins tonight. They are one half game separated in the wild card standing, so it looks like we're going to see some playoff baseball out of Bobby Witt Jr. Yep. For sure. The only question is, who does he visit? Will it be the Guardians, or will it be the Astros, or will it be the Yankees or the Orioles? I mean, there's a lot going on in the American League pennant chase right now as the football season has begun. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Derek in Missouri, one of our regulars. We're in your state, sir. How are you, Derek?
Hey, Rich, how you doing, sir? How you guys enjoying Kansas City?
What's going on, brother?
What's up, Derek? Loving it.
That's good to know. I was going to say, I got a kick out of that video you did of Harlan coming to the stadium. I was going to say, it was like Kurt was the big kid that's sitting in the back seat waiting to get to the stadium and say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
Well, now I was basically going to tell him, don't make me turn this car around. You know, I almost did that, but we had to get to the game. You know what I mean, Derek?
It's like, if you're going to be, hey, we'll get you some ice cream after the game with Kurt, okay? It's like, all right.
What's on your mind?
Well, Rich, I was going to say, last night was, if there was any indication that Kansas City is on their track for the three-peat, it's a pretty good start for them last night. Plus, I don't know what it is every time they go to Kansas City where we have a game played in Arrowhead, but it's always a matter of inches to somebody's foot, like it's either Kadarius Toney stepping offside last year or last night. If Isaiah Likely only had half a foot, his foot would have been in bounds. And if Xavier Worthy is going to be any indication of a headache for defenses to come this season, people better watch out for him.
Well, and thanks for the call, Derek, and we're loving being in your state and obviously in this town. Hollywood Brown, as we mentioned at the top of the show,
didn't even play. Yeah.
So they weren't even full strength on offense last night. Offense last night. And so we can only assume that Brown and the way that he will be utilized will become more of a problem for a defense that has to figure out if Worthy's coming to this spot, coming out of that place, he's lining up here, and then there's Kelsey, and then there's Rice, and then there's Brown, and then there's Pacheco, and then there's a whole bunch of players that they can use to beat you that you're sitting there on a waiver wire and you don't have no idea if that guy's going to be a good fantasy player for you or not. But for the real Chiefs, they can be. And again, if you're just joining us, that was my main takeaway from last night's game for the Chiefs, is they can absolutely three-peat. 100% three-peat. Tonight, you've got the game in Brazil between the Eagles and the Packers, the NFC champions from 2 years ago who fell completely apart last year. We'll see Saquon Barkley for the first time. Is he, along with Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator, the fix to whatever ailed them on offense last year? And will the coach, you know, let Kellen Moore do what he wants to do? And hopefully he and Jalen Hurts are on a better same page than Jalen and the coach was last year.
And Big Dom is back.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
And then we'll see how you know, Jason Kelsey's retirement will affect this offensive line. We'll see if we'll see a push, you know.
Very curious about that.
You know, yeah, we'll see if we'll see that push play and if it'll be just as successful. And then you got the Packers, who had a remarkable run at the end of the season that started, one would say, right around Thanksgiving when they punked the Lions on Thanksgiving and then won and done the Cowboys into an all-in offseason that still doesn't have Dak signed right now. And all of those young wide receivers growing up with Jordan Love, and now Josh Jacobs is here. And, hey, Packers fans, you got the new defensive coordinator you were screaming on X about for 2.5 years, you know. So we'll see what happens tonight. And that means one last opportunity for an Eagles win-loss game. Nick in Philadelphia, ooh, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nick?
Good afternoon, or good morning.
What's going on, Nick? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can. What's on your mind, sir?
I want to do a last-minute Eagles win-loss game.
Last minute. Let's sneak go. It in under the wire. Philadelphia Eagles schedule is up. The music is about to be played. Nick in Philadelphia. What happens tonight in Brazil?
Win.
Then what happens on next Monday night, home for Atlanta?
Another win.
Then at New Orleans.
Another win.
Then home for Tampa, the team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year. At Tampa.
We get some revenge, and that's 4 straight wins.
All right, so you come out of the bye 4-0, home against the Cleveland Browns.
Win.
Then you've got a visit to the Giants with Saquon.
Such a big win that Brian Daboll might get fired.
Wow. That's a hot take. Wow. 6-0 at the Bengals.
And here comes our first loss.
Okay. So now you're trying to bounce back at home against Doug Peterson back in Philadelphia.
Another win.
You're now 7-1 at the Dallas Cowboys. Uh-oh.
Love you, TJ, but a win.
No.
You're now 8-1 home for the Washington Commanders.
Win.
9-1 at the Rams.
Another win.
10-1 at the Ravens.
I'm going to be at this game, and unfortunately, see us lose.
All right, so now you're 10-2 home for Carolina.
Win.
You're bouncing back home for the Steelers.
Big win.
Big win. You're now at the Washington Commanders at 12-2.
A win.
13-2, home for the Cowboys.
That will be a loss.
And then you're home for the Giants.
I think we're going to rest our starters and we will lose that game.
All right, so 2 straight losses to end the season, 13-4. Thank you, Nick. Enjoy the opener for your Eagles tonight.
Thank you, Rich.
You got it.
All the worst of luck.
Wow.
13-4.
Wow.
I don't know if we'll be able to sneak in one more win-loss game.
We will.
Well, we've played 105 of these now. 13-4
new record,
for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Not official.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you. Again.
I love the win-loss game.
One last thing on the Eagles here, and we're going to start seeing it tonight. Okay? And the Packers are the first one up to either, you know, stand in the way or be part of what I'm going to throw out here. The Eagles, as we know, had a Super Bowl-worthy team 2 years ago and midway through last season.
Correct.
Okay. And DeAndre Swift, nice player. Nice player.
Good player.
Okay. Certainly the way that they acquired him, you know, for a song during a draft from a team that didn't have much use for him anymore after drafting Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah. Okay. The way Christian McCaffrey plussed up the 49ers, a team that was Super Bowl worthy, had a Super Bowl team, had been to the Super Bowl with the core of that team, Christian McCaffrey, you add him, turbocharged. Can Saquon Barkley do that for the Philadelphia Eagles? Without a question, the best offensive line this guy's run behind maybe since college, maybe ever in his career. An offense that has got weapons galore around him and a quarterback with whom some sort of mesh point game can make him even tougher. Can that happen starting tonight? Will we see it for Saquon Barkley? That's the difference maker between the Eagles making it back to the Super Bowl and potentially spoiling the party for this home team here in Kansas City or not. It's a What's More Likely Friday. Are you ready to play it, sir, as Kurt Warner is here?
Yes.
On the Rich Eisen
Let's
Show. He's going to join us next. He's also sitting on the green room couch right now. Kurt, I may come to you sort of like phoning a friend for some help on this one, okay?
Oh, all right.
Okay, here we go. Hit it. It's time for What's More Likely. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
What's More Likely, presented by Total Wireless. Have at it, Christopher Brocklin.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Good to see you.
What's up? What's up?
Kurt, you look phenomenal. Great to see you, pal. Who's the more likely team you feel better about after last night's opener, Chiefs or Ravens?
Oh, the Chiefs, without a doubt. Without a question. The Chiefs won that game last night. They didn't have Hollywood Brown.
The Ravens were a toe away from winning, right, Kurt? Literally a big toe away from winning the game last night.
Don't involve Kurt in this right here. I'm telling you what's more likely. It was, without a doubt, the Kansas City Chiefs who won the game last night.
Well, yeah, we know
did
that.
Not
but
have
do you,
Hollywood
who do you feel
Brown,
better about?
I feel so much better about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, interesting.
100%. They looked like a team that didn't have a hangover. They didn't seem tired. They didn't seem anything but as super as last year. And we know Hollywood Brown's coming. So that's my answer on that. Don't involve Kurt Warner. Am I right, Kurt? Am I right?
You are right.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What else?
Literally like a toenail. Breaking news, guys. We got a game tonight in Brazil.
Yes.
Very excited. Eagles.
Encanto, Brazil.
Packers. What's more likely to be the post-Brazil headline? Eagles Super Bowl hangover cured. Packers back as title contenders.
Oh, the headline coming out of this game tonight.
Yes.
I will say the Eagles are through their hangover. That's the way I'll go tonight. I think this Eagles team is stacked, bro. And you've got great. Saquon coming in. I just hope he stays healthy, man, and doesn't have one of those usual high ankle things or
right.
quad things or whatever. If he stays healthy, he can plus this team up like McCaffrey did, an already superb offense. So I'm gonna go with the Eagles tonight. It's going to be a tough flight for both, clearly, and a tough game for both, but I'll go with that one.
Okay. Even though you're playing Saquon in fantasy this week?
I'm fully aware of that. I shoot people straight, TJ. What else?
All right, could be a rough game in Cincinnati for the good guys. Wrote this before all the wide receiver issues, but more likely to be the higher total. Bengals touchdowns tonight or Patriots points?
You mean on Sunday?
On Sunday, okay. Yeah. Bengals touchdowns, Pats points.
I'll go Patriots points. Come on, man.
We're not going to get good.
You're not even going to get two field goals? That's 6 points.
They could score six touchdowns. Have you seen Joe Burrow play?
The bottom line is the Patriots' defense is not in question here.
Our two best players are not going to be playing.
I get it.
And one is on a different team.
I still understand. Come on, man. I've give yourself a little credit. You get two field goals, maybe a third. You're good. One touchdown. Ramondre can bust one. Who knows? Come on.
I'm not hopeful.
Bengals. I'll go Patriots points.
Right? All right. A little more fun now. More likely.
I had fun doing that.
Sorry. Well,
that's a lot of fun.
Okay, it's twisted.
That was a blast.
Glad there was one of us.
Uh-huh.
More likely to have more Rookie of the Year hype after Sunday. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix.
Oh, Caleb Williams. He's the hype machine. Are you kidding me right now?
What if Tennessee is much better than we think?
No, and you know I think they are much better than we think. But he's going to have a couple plays that'll just light up the phone in the palm of your hand.
That'll and what happen. If Washington goes to Tampa and wins?
I hear you, and I think they might. They could.
Bo Nix lights up Seattle.
Dude, that is just a
I know Kurt loves Bo Nix.
That is a tough spot, but we'll talk about that with Kurt Warner shortly. I'll go Caleb. He's got the most hype already. All he's got to do is just come up a couple wild plays. Bears win. He's the hype train is leaving the station. You leading the charge.
I am. I'm so
excited. Dude, you're going to put a conductor's hat. We should get you a Caleb Williams hype train conductor's hat.
Don't let this game fool you. This man loves Caleb.
What else you got?
All right, rookie wide receiver is going to have the best debut this weekend. Marvin, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze.
I'll go Roma Dunze. Yeah, I'll go Roma Dunze. It's a tough spot to play in Pittsburgh. I'm in Buffalo, right? Western New York.
Yes.
Okay. And then you've got Malik Nabers at home against the Vikings.
Correct.
Daniel Jones, I still need to see a couple things before I'm...
It's his sixth year. He's a captain again. What do you
I still
need
to see things.
Like what?
Roma Dunze, pal.
I'm going with Maserati.
Marvin and Nabers are the ones that the defensive coordinators are circling. They're not circling Roma Dunze.
They should be.
They've been circling Mark since 21 at Ohio State, though.
I understand. Got it.
What All else? Right, TJ, this is for you. Which team more likely most needs to start 1-0, the Cowboys or Browns?
Kurt, you want to take that one for me here? What do you think?
Most needs a win on Sunday.
I would actually say Cleveland on that one. I think there's a lot of questions about Deshaun Watson right now. And I think they need to see that he can right that ship with all the other pieces they have. So as much pressure as on the Cowboys, I'm actually saying Cleveland on that one.
Okay. I kind of dig that one, too. But,
but it's the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys.
Come on, Kurt.
What are we going to do? Yeah, I hear you.
Don't let him pressure you into doing the thing, Kurt.
Yeah. I still got my answer, but I'm hearing him. I hear him. I hear what he's saying.
I just phoned a friend right there. What else you got?
All right. Two more. AFC East contender most likely to get got at home, Bills or Dolphins?
I'll take the Bills.
Yeah.
I'll take the Bills on that one, too. You agree with that one?
I do.
Yeah. I
Arizona hype train is leaving the station?
It's not the Arizona. Arizona has what it takes to just not care, as you know, from last year. They were in every damn game.
Pew, pew.
I want to see the Bills before I start.
17's playing the game, right?
Yeah, this is 17's playing the game.
17's playing?
You know, the Mafia is going to be,
they're looped up,
fired
now.
Up. I know, but I'll do that. I really like the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are going to win that division, as you know, and so I will back it up with this. What's more likely? Certain since Kurt agreed with me right off the bat. Last one.
All right, last one. Sunday Night Football, massive game. Lions, Rams, pass catching duo with the bigger day in the win. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra, or Sam Laporta.
I will go with Kupp, Puka.
So you like the Rams?
I do like the Rams a lot. Dude, those two. I mean, how many people have just forgotten that Cooper Kupp is
totally
is Cooper Kupp?
We were talking about this
pre-show, yeah.
You know, I will go in terms of. So you're talking about who will have more catches and yards combined together
in the win?
But you know, Terry
and Arnold is going to have his hands full with one of those two,
no doubt.
But you know, Sun God's going to get about 12, 13 catches.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Would you agree with my assessment, or you take the other one, Kurt?
I think it's close.
You're not allowed to say
not
that.
Not an answer.
That's not an answer.
It's okay. What's more likely is I think it's close. What's more likely?
I'll just go opposite you just because I want to.
Okay, very good. Yeah, Kurt Warner, everybody. Yeah. A very nuanced take.
Yeah, let's go with the Lions.
I love the way that you're clutching the Roku pillow this entire segment.
A little love. Purple's my favorite color. Roku, just give a little love to them.
Nice. Okay, very good.
Doing a great job for you guys.
Thank you, Kurt.
Know.
Very good.
Sitting on the couch.
Kurt, well done.
Getting ready for some ball.
He looks like he's about to take that home with him.
Please, by all means.
Fantastic. Kurt Warner is here, and that was What's More Likely, presented by Total Wireless. Get unlimited data that never slows you down for less than $30 a month. That's the new Total Wireless. Let's take a break. Bring Kurt Warner up here on the Rich Eisen Show set right here in Kansas City, Missouri. Hour number two of day number three of our residency, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner, when we come back. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, radio audience will rejoin in a couple of minutes' time. Look who's here, everybody.
Hey. Friend of the program, friend of mine.
I like when you guys bring your show on the road. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's great.
I like it. We were talking, you know, you should do that every Monday and then hang with us. And
it would be fun.
We'll come join you on Mondays and Tuesdays. And
Kurt, great idea. Is Roku listening?
Roku.
Hey, Roku Joe, you back there?
Kurt's idea that he just said?
I'll come. I'll hold your pillow every week, and it'll be great.
I'll hold your pillow.
We have to call Roku Charlie.
Was that
this.
The original title of Melissa Etheridge's Come Through My Window?
Come hold my pillow.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then she's just like, no.
It doesn't work.
A lot of people saw the video of us arriving at Arrowhead yesterday is the Westwood One group.
Yeah.
And I had an issue with your seating in the in the vehicle.
They did.
That you're a Hall of Famer.
You know, we were just sliding into the stadium. Like, there was, you know, nothing was going to happen that last.
No, but everybody thought I should have been there and the Hall of Famer should have been sitting shotgun.
That was
just
problem,
where
Kurt.
I was sitting. I thought people were making it fun. I didn't have my seatbelt on at that point.
So. No, that's not it. We were.
Hey, it's your position. You called it on your show. You know, like, I mean, you were here before me, so you called it. That's the only unfair part, that you were already here. I wasn't here yet, but, you know, because you kind of.
But I did.
You both got to be in the same area when you call shotgun. Isn't that right, guys?
That's true,
right? You can't just do it on your own, right?
See the vehicle.
See the car.
I also, you know, in a rarity,
yeah.
beat you to the car. I was there before you.
That's
normally, you're
true.
The one already in the car,
yes.
texting me go. Saying, "Where are you?
Where are you?" Right, that's true.
Because I knew you're on time. You are on time, like literally to the dot.
Tom Coughlin time
to the dot. No, to the dot of the actual time.
So yeah, like if he called it once I walked out of the hotel, you know, like once you get outside, you can call shotgun. But I heard you called it like 4 hours before.
Yes, I called it 4 hours
yesterday.
Before.
Yeah, yeah. And felt like that was going to hold up.
But so in advance,
it was your first time with us, so that's okay. I'll give you the front seat.
So you know, in the next time that we do this, I'm calling shotgun now.
No. We have to be in the city, walking out of the hotel
to the same car.
Right.
Right.
And so whoever. Okay. And the other person's got to be there. Yes. You can't just walk out on your own 40 minutes early and go, shotgun.
Shotgun.
We both got to be there. And it's like, shotgun. Right? Who called? Right. You know, like you did with your brother. Shotgun. As soon as we get outside the door.
1, 2, 3. Not it.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner is here, everybody. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Okay, Kurt Warner, your takeaways from the Thursday night kickoff you called on Westwood One Radio is, what are your takeaways?
Yeah, about? I mean, takeaways, still have questions about the Ravens. I didn't think they played very well.
What questions are there?
Really on both sides, but I didn't think they played very well on offense. You know, we talked a little bit about it on the broadcast last night. Was the meshing between Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson being a shotgun quarterback, Derrick Henry being more of a downhill I-type back. You know, they tried to mix it and match it a little bit.
With the pistol?
With the pistol, and then there was a couple times on the touchdown run. Obviously, they were under center. But I'm just interested to see that mesh, because I don't think Derrick's nearly as good when he has to start lateral and then get the big body going downhill. I used to say this about Adrian Peterson. He was the same way. He was a downhill back. He was so good. And then later on in his career, they tried to get him more into that shotgun zone read stuff, and he's just not quite the same back. So I'm interested to see that mesh first and foremost, because we obviously believe adding Derrick Henry to Lamar Jackson could be dynamic. The pass game in year two, I didn't like what I saw last night. I thought Lamar was much more looking to run than playing the pass game. And again, not that I don't like that, because obviously he's dynamic running the football, but I do believe you've got to let the pass plays play out and make the plays that are in front of you. And I felt like last night he was very impatient in the pocket and was looking to run as opposed to looking to throw and let the scheme work for him. And so another thing that I want to see, because you know, there was a lot of talk, lost the weight. And last year there was that narrative of he's got to become a dropback. And I understand all that. I want Lamar to be the best version of himself. But we've got to find a happy medium where he can play the position and look to throw and let those guys work for him, and then run when those opportunities present themselves. And I thought yesterday was more a complete opposite of what we saw in the conference championship game. Conference championship game was, I got to stay in the pocket, I got to throw it, I got to throw it, I got to throw it, where it was like, just take off and be Lamar. And then yesterday I thought it was the opposite. So there's some concerns to me, you know, through the broadcast. There was one point, you know, a couple minutes ago in the third quarter, and only one catch by a wide receiver outside of Zay Flowers. They have to get more on the outside, in my opinion, if they're going to compete with the Chiefs and some of the other teams in the AFC. So I just wasn't as sold with what I saw from them. I didn't think the Chiefs played great, but I'm excited that they have Xavier Worthy and that speed, and Marquise Brown, like you said, when he gets healthy. I think that opens up the possibilities for that offense and Patrick Mahomes. And we got to see a glimpse of that last night. Thus, I'm more excited about what I saw from them opening night than I was from the Ravens.
Before we linger on the Chiefs a little bit, back to what you just said about Lamar. So from your perspective, sitting there watching the game last night, did you see moments where you thought he packed it in too soon, that there was something intermediate, if not deep, that was developing and that would have worked? Did you see that last night?
You know, Kurt, when I was watching the game last night, I didn't necessarily see the things that were playing out behind him, but I saw the impatience of Lamar. I've actually gone back and watched the first half of the game, and there were a few opportunities that I think were coming open or possibly could have been there had he been patient. But it was more the feel that I felt like he was dropping back and looking to run as opposed to really, you know, letting those things play out in front of him. And so there was just an impatience there that I felt watching the game. It showed up again when I watched the first half of the tape. And that, again, there just has to be a balance between the two. Right? He runs for over 100 yards, so you know how dynamic he is. It's just hard to live and you know, and win games against good teams in that mode when there are things that are happening. You know, there was one at the end of the first half where they have an opportunity for a touchdown to Likely on a little stop route. And as soon as Lamar got back, he went running up in the pocket and ended up throwing the ball away in that situation where could have been a touchdown in that situation, could have been a difference maker. So just something I want to see play out as the narrative. We had the narrative last year of what they needed to become offensively and what Lamar needed to be, the changes this year, and, you know, and just seeing kind of the opposite of the way he played. I'm just interested to see how this settles in and this offense looks down the stretch.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your takeaway on the Chiefs, I started the show by saying they absolutely can three-peat. There's no question about it, right? I mean, obviously anything can happen. Injuries can happen. Right. We don't know who the other hot teams in the conference may be. The fixes that you think the Ravens need to make, they actually make them.
Yeah.
We don't know. But the bottom line is just seeing them on the hoof last night, there's no question they could three-peat this
year. Well, right? You know, it always starts with 15. And as long as you have him and him making plays in those key moments, which, again, we saw last night, gives you a chance. Chris Jones, I thought, was dominant again. I mean, you know, doing what he does, which is a key part of their defense.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, don't you think?
He is, yeah. I mean, you watch him play, it's, yeah, you just, yeah, you size the jacket and you go, okay, yeah.
Cause pretty
he's
much.
He's just a difference maker when he's on the field. And there were even a number of times where they were trying to double team him, and he's just running around double teams and creating pressure. So, so he's back. I didn't think their defense looked quite as dominant as last year. So that's going to be a question moving forward.
Is that because Snead is out and they might have to do other things?
I think it's going to be a little bit different in how they have to play and their ability to really challenge people. But I just didn't feel like they were as stout as they were at the end of last year. And again, just like the Ravens, changes, so may take a little bit of time for them to mesh. But, you know, I do like the idea of having an explosive player that you depend on, right? That it shows consistency. And, you know, so last year they had, you know, MVS there, who was a big playmaker, and he's got speed. But you never felt there was a consistency with him.
Yeah.
And so you could never build around him. He was more like, okay, you're the decoy guy that runs the deep play and, you know, we'll throw it to you a couple times a game, but it's really about everybody else. And if they can get somebody, and again, I'm not going to say like Tyreek Hill because he's a difference maker, but somebody that they believe in and have that consistency and can build their offense around with that speed, I think that changes the dynamic of this offense. And so I'm excited because Xavier Worthy showed a couple things.
Yeah.
And but again, you looked at the game and they didn't necessarily play drastically different than they played last year. You know, it was a lot of the short dink and dunk quick throws, which I think will develop, but it's about that confidence. If Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can develop confidence in one of those guys with speed, it will change the way that they play football and call plays. And that's what excites me because you saw glimpses of that last night.
So identify the AFC team that you think could stand in their way.
Well, I mean, you know, on our show, I picked the Texans.
To win it all, right?
I did pick them to win it all. I don't know how much, you know, that's kind of fun preseason stuff. But but I like what they did. I think they got better as a team. And obviously we're a team that with young guys were in the division, you know, playoffs last year. So I like them. And they've got a quarterback. They've got pieces around him.
I know
so
you really like him a lot. Right?
I do. I really like him.
What about C.J. Stroud really causes you to say that, Kurt?
You know, I'm just a guy that loves when you see a quarterback that has the ability to process information quickly, get it to the right guy, and then his technique, which is another thing that I love, because technique leads you as a quarterback. You know, and it doesn't matter who you have. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, those are guys that sometimes their technique can get away from them and cost them plays, even though they make a lot of plays. He is so sound fundamentally on top of his ability to process as a rookie. It's just fun for me to watch that kind of stuff because I believe that always gives you a chance as a team. If your guy can process and make the right decision and he's going to be accurate because his technique is solid, they're going to be a good team and they're going to have a chance. And now you put weapons around them. So I do think they're going to be good. Your Jets, I really think the Jets, and I know the caveat is do they stay healthy because they've got older quarterbacks, some older guys on the offensive line. But with that defense and Aaron Rodgers giving us a semblance of Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a tough team to beat if they have some semblance of an offense with that defense. I like them. I'm excited to see, you know, if Joe Burrow is healthy, that team, as always. You know, so those are three teams. You know, again, the Ravens, you know, pushed them to the limit last night.
To the toenail.
So, yeah, so they're going to be around as well. So I think there's a number of teams on that side. I want to see a little bit more from Miami. You know, I want to see if Jacksonville can take a step, and specifically Trevor can take a step to move to that area where you trust him in those big moments. I think they'll both be good teams. So I think there's a number of teams that will be tough outs in the AFC, but those are the teams, you know, because of their quarterbacks that I say they're going to have a chance.
And again, QB Confidential, your YouTube channel is a home for all of your analysis on all your game film watching and all your keen Hall of Fame insight. Everybody should give that YouTube channel a subscription. And in terms of that, give me your QB Confidential crystal ball on Russell Wilson for 2024.
Just a season. Yeah, I mean, is he going to play on Sunday? Like, you know, we already got those issues there. Here's the thing. You know, I actually broke down Russell on QB Confidential last week, you know, just kind of preparing for the season. And I just believe Russell Wilson has become a completely different quarterback than he was in Seattle. In Seattle, he played confidently. Their offense was built around push the ball down the field, like make the big play or create. That was what they were, and that was Russell Wilson at his best. When he went to Denver, and I think this was twofold. I don't think it was just when he went to Denver tried to make him into a different quarterback. I truly believe Russell Wilson went to Denver saying, I want to show the league I can be a pocket passer. I don't have to be this creative guy, especially as I get older, that I can be a starting quarterback by playing the position in the pocket. And it just hasn't worked out. His ability to see and process information, from what I see, just isn't there right now. And so what he's become over the last couple years is, I'm going to peek at my first read, and if it doesn't show itself really quickly, I'm going to look for a check down. And it's become small ball as opposed to big play football, which is what made Russell Wilson dangerous Russell Wilson, that you were afraid of playing him because he was going to threaten you with his arm down the field, or he was going to buy time and create and make big plays. And that's what made him a difference maker. And I just haven't seen that since he made the move to Denver. And it showed up again in preseason where it was like, peek real quick, and then where's my check down? Where's my quick completion? And it's almost as if you're playing for, and, you know, I hate to say it, like playing for stats. You know, you're playing for, I'm not going to turn the ball over because I'm going to be safe with the football, and I'm going to get completions so it looks really good. Like, his stats last year looked really good for Denver, 20-some touchdowns, less than 10 interceptions. Like, that looks like a really good season. I just don't believe you can win in the National Football League not playing aggressive football. Like, I'm the opposite of most people. I don't care about interceptions. Like Josh Allen, I don't care that he throws interceptions, because you're afraid to play that guy every time out because he's going to make more plays than he makes mistakes. Now, there'll be a game or two he loses because of interceptions. Is what it is. You know, when I played, there was always a game or two every year we lost because of my interceptions. But we won more games because it was like, I will attack you. You are going to be afraid of me. I am not going to be afraid to throw an interception. And it kept defenses on their heels. And I felt like that's how Russell Wilson used to play. And he doesn't play that way anymore. Almost like, I got to hold on to my job, so I just can't make mistakes. And that's not the best version of Russell Wilson. And so I'm hoping that he can turn that corner and get some of that aggressiveness back. I just haven't seen it in the last couple years. And, you know, when you got a guy sitting behind you that is in a position to take your job, are you afraid to play that way? Because if you have one of those games, are you going to the bench? Where I believe the opposite. If you play the other way all year long, you're probably going to end up on the bench because you're not doing enough to help your team win, especially in the AFC with all of these loaded teams and really confident quarterbacks.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's why I ask you, because you're just so great at just breaking stuff down like that, Kurt. And again, QB Confidential, everybody give that a subscription on YouTube. Before I let you go, the NFC, how do you suss that one out. Big game starts tonight in the NFC with the Eagles and Packers.
I don't really know. I don't have the answer to that. You know, I know we always want to – what's your projection in the preseason? That's why I hate preseason stuff, because we haven't seen anybody play. We don't know who anybody's going to be.
By the way, I thought of you last week during college game day when Nick Saban was asked – that they were picking games at the end.
Yeah.
Did you see this moment with Nick? When Nick Saban, his first game, and before he makes his pick, he goes, "This is the first time I've ever had to pick anything without seeing any of the teams at all." And I thought of you, because you say that all the time.
Right.
That's what he said. He's like, "All right, I'll make a pick." And I'm like, "Welcome to TV."
And I understand it's TV, and I understand why we do it. But I always say week one of our picks shouldn't count, because we don't know. Like, half the players didn't even play in preseason, and you're telling me I'm supposed to know who's going to win.
Right.
But anyways.
Yes.
But it's the beautiful thing about the NFC for me, because, you know, we don't have the big names, especially the big name quarterbacks in the NFC that we have in the AFC. But at the same time, to me, it's a complete toss up. When I look at the NFC, I'm like, I don't know. You talk about the Eagles. On paper, they got better. I mean, you know, and not just because they were bad at the end of the last year, but I mean, the 10-1 team from last year got better in a lot of ways. So I'm excited about them. Who's not excited about Green Bay? I mean, they were so young last year, and, you know, they boat raced Dallas and had a chance to beat San Francisco. And you're like, my gosh, you know, they're getting a year older and more mature. Why shouldn't they be really good? The Lions should have been in the Super Bowl a year ago. I mean, why couldn't they not win it? You know, still questions to me about, you know, Dallas. Who will they be? The Rams that you talked about, sneaky good team. I mean, they were a good team last year. Could have beat the Lions, right? Lions could have been in the Super Bowl. Could have beat the Lions in the first. So there are a number of teams in the NFC that I'm excited to see what they are. You know, if everything that I think going in holds true, I think we've got 5 or 6 teams in the NFC that could be in the Super Bowl, just like I say the same thing in the AFC. So that excites me. When we go into a season and you got to count it on 2 hands how many teams you think really have a shot, that makes it fun for us, because now we get to see it play out and see who can separate themselves. And as I said on our previous show, which of these young quarterbacks or quarterbacks on the NFC separate themselves from the rest? Because I think we have questions about a lot of them and who they can be, and can they punch their second ticket to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, Purdy being one of them. You're seeing him. It's the Westwood One Monday night game where you and Kevin Harlan will be in the field
against that defense of the Jets.
Right.
Great test, yeah.
That's going to be the next game that you call. And then, you know, the Falcons improve themselves.
Right.
But your reservations about Dallas, let's finish up there. What are they?
Well, I mean, I think the reservations are the reservations I've had with Dallas for a long time. Is they've had a number of years where they've had really good rosters. And rosters on paper that you say they should compete in the NFC. But their best players have never separated themselves in the big moments, right? This game now becomes more about your big play guys, you know, your game-changing guys playing their best football in the big moments. And Dallas just hasn't done that. And, you know, if we're going to point at the quarterback, Dak, as great as he's been in the regular season, hasn't elevated himself in the team in those biggest moments. So that's kind of where it starts, is that if you're going to bring back basically the same team, and I know they've made a few changes here and there, but bring back basically the same team built around those same players, those guys have to step up in the biggest moments and show us they can be difference makers, because I don't know if they did enough going out. I mean, obviously they didn't do enough going out and saying, hey, we brought in these 3 players that elevate us ahead of the NFC. Pretty much the same team as last year. Now your big time players have to elevate in those big time moments against the best teams in the league. And that's my reservation, is we just haven't seen it over the last couple years.
So I've refreshed my memory from the season preview show on Tuesday on NFL Network. The NFC team you threw your dart at the dartboard at for the Super Bowl was which one?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
Yeah, I picked the Eagles, right? Is that I think this year they have a chance to kind of pull back from putting – I felt like last year – their offense changed and more pressure was put on Jalen Hurts to be a passer than being built around the run game and the RPOs, which is what really led them the year before and at the beginning of last year. And so I really believe with Saquon Barkley, you guys talking about him a little earlier, his addition, I really believe they go back to saying our MO is running the football, letting, you know, Jalen deal the football in the RPO game,
yep,
and then let the play action and the big plays to those guys on the outside come from that, as opposed to trying to be a dropback. I think they go back to playing that brand of football, and I believe that brand of football with the talent that they have is good enough to elevate them again and allow them to be competitive in the NFC. And so that's what I'm excited about.
Great job last night. Great job Tuesday.
It was good having you in the booth.
It was fun. Look forward to Sunday on game day morning for week one. I can't wait to hear your picks.
All right. Well, I got my picks. I got them. I don't know how confident, but
have you, they're already in?
Most of them are already in. I still got some that I'm waffling. You guys talking about the Bears and the Titans. I think the Titans, again, quarterback.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Will, but around that, they got talent. They added some pieces on defense. So, you know, so there's some games. The Rams, Lions, I mean, great game to start out. You know, Jets, 49ers, I mean, we got some great games.
Steelers, Falcons, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, no, right, with some of the questions. Sure.
I got my top five intriguing matchups still to come. Thanks.
Okay.
And safe flight home.
All right, thanks,
buddy. Best to Brenda, sir. The rest of your family.
Appreciate
the great
it.
Kurt Warner right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Bobby Witt Jr. making his way to our studio for hour number three before we head to the airport ourselves. Hey, everybody. You know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Number five. We're now at the top five of my power rankings of NFL quarterback birthday parties I'd prefer to attend. Number five is Josh Allen. Let's go hang out with Josh Allen.
Yes.
I don't know what this is photographs from. Is it from a murder mystery party or something like that?
Like Halloween?
I don't know, but let's go hang out with Josh Allen. All right. Number four in the list. Who wouldn't want to go to Tom Brady's birthday
party? I thought that would be number one.
No.
Single Tom Brady, bro?
Single Tom Brady.
Tom Brady on a boat.
Yeah.
And it's on his cheat day.
With no kids?
It's one day he's drinking, too.
So we're okay.
All right?
Okay.
Tom Brady's number three for me. Number three on this list. Who wouldn't want to go say happy birthday to Joe Burrow?
Oh, you're
smoking cigars. Look at Joe.
Okay.
Come on now. Joe Burrow's throwing her birthday party. I'm going, and everybody on the RSVP list is going, too.
Oh,
number two, quarterback birthday party I would want to attend is Jimmy Garoppolo's birthday party.
Yes.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
How is that not number one?
Because you know Tom's going to be there, and you just, I'll stand in the corner and look, and it'll be creepy. I'm not going to lie. It'll be creepy.
There'll be some birds at that.
It'll be creepy.
Oh, my God.
But Jimmy Garoppolo,
you're kind of women at that party.
I wouldn't be able to go to Jimmy Garoppolo's birthday party because Susie would say, I'm going. You're home. Okay?
The pigeons will be clucking.
And then number one, atop my power rankings list of quarterback birthday parties I would like to attend of an NFL quarterback birthday party, hands down, number one, Gardner Minshew. Period. End of story. It's not just starting quarterbacks. I said NFL quarterback. Number one, Gardner Minshew. Fun stuff on our YouTube channel. Check it out. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, as we know, the NFL season is underway, and don't miss a moment of the action with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. When bundled together, you get the most live NFL games all in one place, but that is not all. You can watch up to four NFL games at once. Their signature multi-view feature is awesome. It's a game changer for NFL and fantasy football fans alike. Sign up today. Don't miss out. YouTube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games. Excludes digital-only games. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Jonathan, and this is for you, Chris, in Alaska.
Oh, hey.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
What's up, man?
First, I just want to say, I'm on TJ's side with the whole fantasy draft thing. You guys could have had a lot of your content out of that if you had started it sooner.
Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. You sound like a very wise man.
Better late than never.
Never late is better, though. You know, Drake said that.
But, yeah, I wanted to talk about Lamar. He was taking a lot of hits lower near the shoulders. He got hit in the helmet one time, and I expected the refs to call down and take him out of the game for a concussion protocol, but He was just running hard the whole time. If he keeps playing like that, I don't think he's going to hold up for the whole season. You know, I think he's going to end up getting injured.
He got clipped a few times with a defender coming across the middle. Like, he got hit. He got particularly hit. But again, Jonathan, and thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate you chiming in from the beautiful state of Alaska.
I really appreciate it.
He is in better shape, though. I'm telling you, man. I strolled on the field before the game, and he was there in his warm-ups. And I'm like, this dude, he didn't just get thin. He leaned out, but he strengthened up.
I think people forget how tall Lamar is.
He looked ripped, and he looked fit in a way that was not. And you know, I always shoot you straight here. When the whole business of him, demanding a trade and then got his contract, right? And the whole conversation, that nonstop drumbeat in the offseason, the whispers were he didn't take care of himself like that. Mm-hmm. That he just, his diet was off, that he was not serious when it came to whatever he was putting in his body was the only thing that was best for his skill set. And that his brilliant skill set was just outweighed the next level sense of how do I fuel my body properly.
Yeah.
And that was the conversation you heard nonstop. And obviously the Ravens, you know, when it all said and done, gave him what he wanted. But he 100% has answered those questions now. He looks great. And he looks faster and he looks more, as I said, athletic, which is kind of crazy to say that about Lamar Jackson.
Right? Like, you mean it's going to get better?
But you heard Kurt break it down just moments ago. You know, the whole idea of him showing up and it's just like, well, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Last year, he's like, I'm going to be a pocket passer in the AFC Championship game. Didn't work out. Last night, he needed to be more of a pocket passer. Didn't work out. And so the guy's a two-time MVP. He did miss the throw that he missed last night. Zay Flowers was wide open in the end
10
zone.
10 seconds left.
Doing jumping jacks.
In the last, second to last play of the game.
Yep.
He hits him. We're not talking about a toe being in and out. So, you know, the Ravens will always, in Lamar, they trust. And I think the issue is who else can go down the field other than Zay Flowers? Is it Bateman or not? And if not, where do they find one?
Yeah.
because that's a big difference maker for the Ravens this season. You know, so and Derrick Henry in figuring out that piece,
how he fits.
Again, I just remember when Peyton Manning went to Denver and Gary Kubiak was the coach there, and his offense was booting out and, you know, making plays off the boot. That's not Peyton's style. So they compromised. They put him in the pistol formation so he could have some of the offense that he wanted, and Kubiak could have some of the offense that he wanted, and they meshed it together. Let's figure out what's best with Derrick Henry to get him that head of steam going downhill. And last night we didn't see a lot of that. But they came awful close. However, they are 0-1, and the rest of the division has a chance to just one weekend be one game up on them. Bobby Witt Jr. in hour number three, our final hour of our remarkably fun week here in Kansas City, is coming up. And also my top five most intriguing matchups for the rest of week one right here on the Rich Eisen Show, our last hour in Kansas City. TJ, you've got something?
Well, Rich, you know, you were just talking about things you didn't see, right? And you were talking also about Lamar and how good he looked.
Yes.
We were sitting pretty high up, so it's kind of hard for us to see, you know, that close to the field. But, you know, much like I would tell you guys when I fly, like if there's 100 seats and 99 people don't recline, the one person that does is the person in front of me, right?
What happened last night?
Well, last night it was kind of the same thing. Like, we're sitting there watching the game, and, well, they were watching the game. I was watching this.
Okay.
That guy was in front of me, and he was the only one that stood up the entire game. So Hoskins would have to tell me every play. He was my color commentator. He was telling me everything that was going on. So, you know, I really couldn't see anything. So
this is a big controversy when it comes to watching games as to whether you have a right to stand or not. And my philosophy is 100% you do not have a right to stand every damn play at a game. I'm sorry. But people feel like it's my way of showing my faith and love and zeal and fandom. And also there might be some sort of crazed tinfoil hat superstition.
Maybe.
But I'm sorry, you're going to the game that does not give you the right to stand every play. It does not. And I'm sorry, dude.
Well, plus, I wasn't going to say
anything. I know you feel differently, Chris. I know you feel differently.
I go back and forth.
I have no problem.
I go back and forth.
I don't care if you stand.
If you're sitting super low, like, don't stand all the time. But we're in the 300 level. Yeah. Like, what if you
plus
want to
he
stand,
a,
stand?
He had a cauliflower ear, dude. So what was I going to say to him?
Wow. Nothing. Zero.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
What is the path of least resistance with highest ROI?
New episodes available every day.
People oftentimes are paying very close attention to what the Fed does to get signals on what's going to happen with mortgage rates, and it's completely wrong way thinking.
Whether it's real estate, on the market, rookie, or money.
And you can make just 6% on a deal. You can retire next month.
The Bigger Pockets podcasts are on YouTube or wherever you listen.